Last Sunday, the subject that I had, the title that I had was Look Away. And we talked about Apostle Paul. He had a whole lot of troubles in his life. But those troubles were helped out as he looked at heaven out ahead for him. Treasures that we have over there. But what I'd like to look at this afternoon, what about, you know, we talk about we've got mountains and we've got valleys in our life. When we have a valley, we have a whole lot of bad things happening in our life. It's so easy to think about heaven. You know what? I'd love to go there. But think of all the good things that will, the bad things that will not be there. What about when everything is going good here? Do we still think about heaven? We still compare it and say, you know what? Even with all this good, heaven is still going to be a wonderful place. I want to make it. And, you know, whenever we have good health, we have a good job, we have retirement here, you know what we never want to do is get to where I have my treasure is so great here that I lose sight of how valuable that one is over there. There's a verse over in Psalms 20:7. You know, we can get to where we trust in temporal things around us. This one said, some trust in chariots, some in horses. We'll remember the name of the Lord. Now, that's kind of old-fashioned verse for us. But, you know, that was a valuable verse for people a long time ago. To go into battle and you have a chariot and a horse, there's a whole lot of value to it. You just may be able to come out a winner in this battle. I thought about Pharaoh. It said that when he came after the Israelites, he didn't just bring a few. It says he brought all the chariots of Egypt. You know, that was where his treasure was. He's had this, I've got the ability now to be able to take care of this problem. But what does it say? Some trust in chariots, some in horses. We're going to remember the name of the Lord. And we look at that story. The things that was a treasure to the Egyptians, God was able to cause the wheels to come off of them. You know, sometimes in our life we can have things going so well and I build up some treasures around me to where I feel like, you know what, I can take care of the problems that can come into my life. So my question today is, and it's for me too, is where is my treasure? There's a verse that says we can even kind of identify where my treasure is. It says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so I can do a little test every once in a while. Where's my heart? And there's a balancing place here for us, and I want us to be able to find that balance. But the definition for treasure, to hold or keep something as being precious. And another definition is to collect and store up something of value for a future use. And we have in our own life, we store up some things for future use. We used to get, don't get it anymore, I guess, but a bank statement would come in the mail monthly. And there was no phone that you could check it daily on. You just would find out at the end of the month. So I have a question. Has anybody beside me ever run your account so low that you had a check to bounce? And you find out about it. Well, you know, that's a temporal thing. What I'm interested in is we were looking last week at looking away. Being able to realize, you know what, this over here is temporal. That over there is eternal. And I'm heading there. What if we got monthly bank statements from heaven? Here's what your account balance is today. And what I'm interested in is maybe not even today, but in the future for us to look at, what things can I do to build my balance over there? And you know what happens also as I build my balance over there? Well, it's really about this, where my treasure is, my heart's going to be more there also. So I've been thinking of this. I can spend a lot of time focused on building treasure here. And what is its real value? If I start thinking about, we heard this verse this morning, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know what happens when I'm putting that first? I'm building an account over on heavenly things. I'm putting that first. And then he said, I'll also, once you do that, I'll take care of the other things. All these other things will be added to you. There are verses that's a warning to me as I'm building treasure. One of those, some of these we just don't look at very often. But today I'd like for us to take a look. It's in Mark, the 8th chapter, and in the 36th verse. Sometimes, as I'm looking, as I'm trying to balance life, because I will go back to work tomorrow, and I'm working because I get a paycheck. You know, and I feel some security when I get to build that up some. But I also need to realize, you know what, there's dangers. Jesus, time after time, he said, he put a caution light out. Watch out, there's a danger. Here was the danger in 8 and 36. What is it going to profit a man if he gains the whole world? What is it? Where's my treasure? If I had the whole world at my disposal, but I lost my soul, what would it profit a man? I need to be looking at, I want to put treasure over there. I want to be careful about the treasure that I have here. Treasure is not so much what's in my bank account, but it's where my heart is about it. Because there is a verse that we've heard before. We've read it before. And it's a very serious verse. It's in Luke 16. This was a man that built up some treasure. 16 and 19. A certain rich man clothed in purple, fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. He had some treasure built up here. And here's the thing. There's a fine line between me working and saving. We'll find there's verses that say we must do that. But not letting my heart get set on it. Because as I read this, I try to put my name into it and say, what would be the difference between me and him? When we read, we don't get many details about the rich man. All it said was he did very well. He enjoyed what he had. But then it just dropped a little tidbit in it. There was a beggar that sat by his gate. We can have treasure here. We can build treasure there. He had, when I look at this, what caused him to be lost? Did it say he was wicked? Did it say he got his wealth by stealing from people or cheating from people? It doesn't tell us any of that. The only thing it says is, in your life, you had good things, and Lazarus did not. So I look at these things and I say, Lord, help me that I be able to keep my treasure in the right place. Because it says in the 22nd verse, Abraham's bosom is where the beggar died and went. Then it says also the rich man died and was buried. This is what makes the difference of where I have allowed my heart to be set on treasure. Because his is gone now. And I just wonder, at his funeral, no doubt people were talking about the treasures that he had. What a life he had lived, the place that he owned, and all those things. But we don't get to see those other details. You know, I believe that if we, as we look at that story, there was an opportunity to make a heavenly deposit at his gate. Now, before we're through with this, we'll realize I cannot buy salvation. But what I want to do is, as I'm going through life, let me realize the things that are valuable for here and the things that are valuable for there. A lot of times they're two different things. He had an opportunity. I'd like to look at a verse over in Matthew 25 and 34 because it's making me realize, you know what? Okay, I'm moving through this life just like the rich man did. Am I passing up some opportunities to make a deposit? Look at this, Luke 12 and 13. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. This one is another one for me to take warning about, because I don't see that this man did sinning. I don't see where he stole something or did something that was wrong. But there's a little warning given us in Luke 12 and 13. It's a man's coming to him and say, "Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." He said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" And here's the warning for us. Take heed. Beware of covetousness. Yes. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And then he tells us the story of the man that just put out a lot of effort farming, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there were some things that give us a little bit of warning. It said it brought forth plentifully. And then it says that he talked to his soul. He thought within himself, 17th verse, "What am I going to do because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?" He said, "This will I do. Pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I'm going to say to my soul," you know, this is a warning to me. As I come in close to time to say, it's time for me to take it easy now. I've worked hard all my life. What was wrong with this man saying that? It says, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." You know, was there an opportunity here for him to have made a heavenly deposit? I think so. And what I want to learn from these is there's something that I can do to make heavenly deposits myself. It does not mean if I'm a Christian, I should have no money. What it means is if I'm a Christian, Lord, help me to be asking God, "Lord, you bless me with this. How can I make a deposit for you in my heavenly account?" We can do it. And it's more simple than we even realize. But this one, when God calls a man a fool, I want to back up and take a look. What caused that to happen? Because I don't want him putting my name in that category. And so I back up, and you know what? We all ask God to prosper the things that we've set our hand to do. Yes. So there's nothing wrong with that. It's what I do at the end of it. If he would have changed this story a little bit, there was nothing wrong with him building larger barns so that it wouldn't go to ruin. But what was wrong was when he said, "Now, it's all mine. I've put it together. It's going to be a good retirement for me." And God said, "You're a fool. Because this night, you're going to leave here, go out into eternity, to a place where you could have made some deposits, and it would have been very beneficial for you." That's a warning for me. And then there's one more verse. Because it doesn't just say, okay, that's a story, but it's a long time ago. It doesn't even apply to us. It could not apply to us. But then he finishes off with another verse. 21st verse. "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." That's the warning for me today, is don't let me be laying up treasure for myself and not be rich toward God. We can have temporal blessings and thank God for those blessings. But Lord, help me to be very alert that there is another world out there. When we talk about looking away to heaven, you know what? We don't want to have so much back here that I start looking back at all the things that I have. There was a verse that I want to look at, Matthew 25 and 34. It says the king is going to say to those on his right hand. I believe this is telling us how I can simply make some eternal deposits into heaven. It says the king is going to say to them on his right hand, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You know what? That's what I would love to hear when I breathe my last breath. Yes. How did that come about? I was a hungered. You know, could this be attached at all to part of the rich man's problem? He says, I was a hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. This is to the person that made it in at the end. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. What do I get from all these? Do we go away going to have a drive to do a lot more? I think what we want to do is go away and with that verse, as we have therefore opportunity, let me do good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith. But Lord, help me to realize I have opportunities maybe every day to just make a little deposit into heaven. And it's as simple as this right here. Let me just be on the lookout for those that have a need. There's another one, another story that can come close to home. It's in Mark, the 10th chapter. This man, he had done it all right. 17th verse. When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and said, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? We know this. We've read it so many times. He's given the 10 commandments. Are you obeying those? Are you obeying the things that you know to do? He was. And he said, there's one more thing that you're lacking. And he said, you go sell what you have, give it to the poor, and then you're going to have some treasure in heaven. Take up your cross and follow me. Says he was sad at that saying. He went away grieved because he had great possessions. And again, it talks about Jesus is going to give some instruction. And he goes on down here. Next verse, Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God? His disciples were astonished at his word, but Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard it is for them, and he adds another little piece in here, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. So I look at these things. And there are some warnings to us. One of them is Psalm 62 and 10. If my riches increase, don't set my heart on it. Yes. See, there's a difference between, it's not sin for the riches to increase. But what gets me in trouble is when my heart gets set on that. When it becomes my treasure to me. Because you know what? If something that becomes my treasure, I want to hold on to it. A lot of times I want to build it more and more. If your riches increase, don't set your heart on it. Proverbs 23 is another warning for us. It says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Now, what's this talking about? Don't put out any work. Well, if you don't put out any work, you won't have to worry about whether you're going to be rich or not. So I think this laboring is something more than just getting out there and working for it. This is letting it become my treasure, my drive in life. It says, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? Riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away into heaven. There's something about riches that's guaranteed. What does it say here? They fly away like an eagle to heaven. It's guaranteed that my riches is going to leave me, or I'm going to leave my riches one day. I won't be taking this with me. And so I think of the value for us. Does this tell us, is our talk this afternoon saying, if you got any money, get rid of it, run down and find somebody at your gate and give it to them? Don't go to work and don't labor to be rich. No, there is so much instruction given us. So I find out what it's trying to tell me is just be real careful that your heart doesn't get set on it. Because here's the instructions that are given to us. What does it say? Proverbs 6 and 6. Is this telling us don't labor to gain some wealth? Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, gathereth her food in the harvest. So this is giving us instruction about setting some things back, because there's going to come some difficult times. So it's given us some instruction. There's another in 1 Timothy 5 and 8. And to me, I take this verse and I use it like my alarm clock to get me out of bed, to get up in the morning and go to work. And it says, if a man provide not for his own, especially those of his own household, he has denied the faith and he's worse than an infidel. So that tells me, get up. So this message today is not about, we should all as saints not have any money. No, what it's telling us is, be real careful, because let me watch where my heart is going. That it not become my treasure. That I realize that I still look away and realize, you know what, this is temporal. This is for here today. I'm here for a little bit of time and I'm gone. So Lord, where I can, there are opportunities for me to make a deposit over into heaven. Another one in Romans 12 and 11, not slothful in business. Now, why would it even matter about business if you're not trying to build up any money? I believe it's good for us to get out, work hard, and try to save up some money. When it happens, let me go back to God and say, let me be like the person that worked hard and it brought in a lot of fruit. And I even had to build bigger barns, but I don't want to hear thou fool. So what I did is once I got it in and it's dry and safe, I have another prayer and I say, Lord, I want to thank you for what you have done.
Yes,
thank you for the increase that you gave me. Now, Lord, if you'll just help me to know how to distribute it. Because you know what? There's places where it says the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And I'm finding something. You know what? He will outgive us. And if he does it, nothing more than just being with us in the times. How much would it cost me to get a doctor to come to my house at 2 o'clock in the morning because I need help? It's more money than I've got as many times as we're calling on him now. But you know what? I can call on the Lord night or day, and he's there. And I thank him for it. There's also a verse over in 1 Corinthians. Because you remember where Jesus in his prayer, he said, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world. But what I'm wanting you to do is keep them from the evils of the world. This one in 1 Corinthians 7, 31. They that use this world, you know what? Every one of us use this world. We're out working in it. We use its monetary system. But it says we use it, but not abuse it.
Yes.
For the fashion of this world is passing away. That's an important thing for me to just keep on bringing up in my mind. This thing is going to pass away. If it doesn't come to the end of all things, like 2 Peter 3 says is going to happen, if it doesn't come in my lifetime, my end is going to come, and I want to be ready. So I see these little tidbits for me. When Jesus says, come ye blessed, inherit what I've got for you, that's heaven. So let me pick up quick on the verses and say, what was that that caused him to get it? Let me go out and see. Lord, just open an opportunity for me to be a help to someone. In Matthew 6 and 19, this verse, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. Again, this verse is not telling us don't have a bank account. don't keep two bills together because you shouldn't have any extra. That's not saying it. What it's saying is, here's what's important. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. This is the important part. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There was a piece in the commentary, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We must not confide in our treasure to be our security and supply in the time to come. Here is the danger that we have. Is as things, you know, when I have nothing and I'm needing the Lord so much, it's so easy to call on Him. But you know what, as things turn around, and now things are going well for me, to realize, you know what, I can kind of take care of some of these things myself. But it says, do not confide in our treasure to be our security and supply in the time to come. You remember the ones that says, be real careful, because it can take wings and fly away. You know how easy, I can remember where I would listen to Dave Ramsey, and he said, you better build you up a little rainy day fund because something can happen. And just about the time you get a little bit saved up, you have your tires go out on your car, or your washing machine goes out, and it just seems like there's a big old spigot at the bottom of the barrel and it drains it again. Well, this one is saying, no matter how much we're blessed, let me remember, don't put my heart there. Don't get to feeling like I can take care of this by myself. We must not say to the gold, thou art my hope. We must not content ourselves with our treasure as well as we need, or as all that we need or desire. The person said to his soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. You know, this is, maybe it's just because I'm getting old, but this is the warning that we have for us through life. They talk, I mean, if we would follow Dave Ramsey, he says, live like nobody else so you can live like nobody else. You know, he's talking about put up some money while you're young so you can really enjoy it when you're old. You know, the Word of God tells us He's going to take care of us no matter what. Yeah. So what I want to do is I want to start building an account more on the other side. And what I want us to do is realize I cannot buy my salvation with good works. It won't happen. I want us to be able to maybe look at that at another time. But what I want to realize is, like Colossians 3:1 says, if I'm risen with Christ, let me seek those things which are above. So does it mean, with the scriptures that we've looked at, does it mean I cannot go out and work and build up some money? You know what? It's all going to balance itself out if I will seek those things which are above. Yes. Set your affections on things above. It even tells us in that first verse, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And then he tells where it is, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. So there's something about this word affection is more than just if you have some money, you're doing wrong. It's something about where I let my heart go to. And that's the warning that I get from all this. Set my affections on things above. And there's something that is important. To be able to do that, I'm going to have to realize I'm here for a little bit of time and I'm going to be gone from here. So I want to finish up with one more verse for this, because this is going to be the important part for us, in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And in the 13th verse, it says, there's a group of people that confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They that say such things declare plainly they seek a country. I'm here. I've got business to do here, but I'm a citizen of another country. Yes. You know, this is not just somebody that dreamed up something and they wrote it. This is the life of a Christian. They declare plainly they seek a country. So when the government starts messing up here, what a peace it brings to me to say, I'm just traveling through here. I'm headed to another country. And it says, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. I'd like for us to think of that verse in what we're talking about today. Where we set our affections. I can have my affections. I start working on them and I'm centering them more on heavenly things. But you know what? At all times, if I'd been mindful, if I'm mindful of this other country, I can return to it. I can bring my affections back and get them too much centered on my temporal things. But we're headed for another country. And I want to send up some deposits to those. And it's not that it's okay. You cannot reach it unless you had so much money to be able to make a deposit. You know, sometimes a heavenly deposit is no more than a smile to a person that needs it when they're down. Or maybe just a good word to encourage them. It was as simple as, what does it say? If you give a cup of cold water, there's going to be a reward come from it. So what I want us to do is be looking in the future. I want to be able to build some heavenly deposits. I wanted that there was treasure that was hid in a field. When he realized there was treasure, says he went out and he sold everything he had and bought that field. I was reading a commentary on that. It said this wouldn't have been like just he was walking around out there in the woods on somebody else's land and he saw a chest of gold and he covered it back over and went and bought the place. So this man would have realized, you know what? I was just scratching in the dirt here and I saw there is treasure underground, that silver or whatever, gold or whatever. And I'm going to have to take a lot of work to be able to get it out, but it's going to be worth it. I think that's what is the kingdom of heaven is like unto that. I'm willing to put out some effort to be able to buy this field. And I believe it's going to be important for me because it goes into more things than just works. All we've talked about is just being able to do good works for other people. I would like for you to be thinking over the next days, what can I do to make a heavenly deposit? You know what I wonder? When I stop and take time to read the Word of God, could it be like that field that we're talking about? That I realize, you know what? I can spend more time on temporal things and I say, Lord, help me. Or I can take some time in the Word of God and it's like realizing how valuable this field is. There's so much in it, but I've got to dig it out. I believe that's some heavenly deposits for us. There are many things that we can make a deposit. Because what I want to hear is, come ye blessed of my Father.
Yes.
And it was some of the most simple things that caused it to happen.
That's true.
Salvation is the first thing that we must have. But there's results that come from that. And there's many simple things that we can do. What it really is saying is, there's things that we can do that cause me to start thinking about heavenly things and being able to help other people in a way, in a special way. I desire your prayers. Because we're living in a time today where many people out in the world will say, get your stuff together so you can live the retired life wonderful. You know what retirement means? I'm one step away from the grave. I'm one step away from going over there to someplace. I've been depositing somewhere. I'm almost there. Lord, help me.
Yes.
And not just, okay, well, that means nobody else needs to worry about it until you're as great as I am. You know when you really start working on it? Is when we're younger.
Yes.
Because then it comes natural. Because you know what? If I have hoarded up my treasure. Because that man that planted his field, I don't think that was the first time that he had good crops come in or thoughts about what he was going to do with his crop. You know, if we'll start out early in life saying, heaven is where I'm headed. I'm going to make it by the help of the Lord, and I'm going to make me some deposits. That might would even help whenever it's time for me to read the Word of God, because I really believe that's a deposit. That gets us to thinking about heavenly things and putting some more things over there. I desire your prayers, because we're all headed to the end. We have such a long list of people just among the church that we know,
yes,
that are in serious, serious need right now. And we have heard all our life the end is coming.
Yes.
You know how easy it is to forget about the end is coming? Because I've heard it all my life. But it's really true that one day it will. And I may get no warning. I may get no warning that my end is coming. But I want to be building up some deposits on the other side, because I want the Lord to recognize me when I stand before the gate. It is not in ourselves. It's not works of righteousness that we have done. It's a gift that God gave us. I'm thankful for the gift He gave. Now, Lord, help me to use what You have given me. I desire Your prayers.